Truly, the reason for the season is Jesus. One more time. The reason for the season is
Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. You know, the disciples that day, thank you for putting the PowerPoint up. The disciples that day, Jesus had just ascended into heaven, and they're looking up into heaven, and two angels appear, and what are you guys doing here? And, you know, they're, well, we're looking in heaven. And the angel said the same way he ascended into heaven, in the same way he's going to return. Jesus is coming again. Amen? Amen. And that is, we're using the Advent candle, hope, peace, joy, and then next week will be love. We do have hope. We do have peace. We do have joy because of, and the Sunday school answer is, Jesus, because of Jesus. Great news, good news of great joy. That's what today is about. And Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointing me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then later in Jesus' ministry, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Every one of us is sent. You know, we are 9 times larger overseas. You're a family of 6 million people, approximately. That's a lot of people. Amen? We're a family of 6 million strong, being light in this dark world. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Jesus was sent out to bring the good news to a lost and dying world. And then our word that our mathematician loves, ergo, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he's anointed us, you and I, us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And now let's make it personal. Would you all please read this with me? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And again, I want to just keep asking that question. Who do you know that needs set free? Who do you know that needs set free? People that are already in your life. All you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit, who is it? Who is it, Holy Spirit? And then he'll reveal to you. He will reveal to you who needs set free. And then with that in mind, let's walk in intimacy with God. As you can see, the people from the Middle East, these pastors and leaders from the Middle East, they know it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not what we do, it's Christ in us. That's what people see. People will see Christ in us and be drawn to him. And then we simply invite others to do what we're doing, walking in intimacy with him. I know, are you guys sick of this yet? Raise your hand if you're sick of this. Because you're going to get a whole nother year, okay? Inviting others. Today's message, we have good news of great joy. And it's found in Luke. If you want to turn in your Bibles, that color with an underline means there's a blank in your sermon notes. If you want to take sermon notes, you're welcome to. And if I skip over one, all the answers are in a block and upside down at the end of the sermon notes. But we're going to, you're welcome to turn there in your Bibles, or I have the passages up for us. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, by the way, I did order a new one of these this week. I will pay for it, but I ordered a new one. It guarantees 150 feet. I could hide somewhere in here and it's going to work. But the angel Lord said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in, could you guys advance that rascal? Because I'm not pushing the right button or something. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. You know, all of us have heard this story. Amen, right? You know, how many of you think that you're really important? Anyone here think you're really important? If you do, just turn to the people next to you and they'll put you in your place, okay? God, these angels revealed themselves to who? Shepherds. Shepherds. Now, you had the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they're here in the social standing. Then you had government people that were here. Then you had business owners. Then you had regular people. And then you had shepherds that you had to dig down to find them. Are you with me? Shepherds were not, even if they saw a crime, they could not be a witness in court because they were so questionable. They were that damn looked down upon. Any of you ever feel like you look down upon? Any of you look in the mirror and look down upon yourself? Let me see, raise the hands. How many honest people do we have here this morning? Every morning I got to shave this ugly mug and I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I have to, by faith, believe that God doesn't make mistakes. But I don't know. I think maybe he may have made one. By the way, ladies, Scripture does teach that he practiced on men and then he made women. Okay? Just so you know. Okay, so the point is, God sent angels to deliver the message to the humble, low shepherds. Guess who else he'll bring messages to and he wants to speak to today? People just like us. We're not fancy. We're not fancy-smancy, right? My son tells me I'm a country boy. That means I'm a redneck with an education. I was talking to someone and they were talking, just yesterday we were at someone's house and they were talking about playing the piano and stuff. And I said, yeah, worst 3 years of my life, piano lessons. My mother tried to get culture into me, but it just wouldn't take. I admire people that can play the piano and instruments. I can't. I got Zippo on that rascal. I can't carry a tune in a 55-gallon bucket. I even sing the wrong words. It's so bad. It's pathetic. But, you know, God loves us. Just like he revealed himself to those lowly shepherds. He used the shepherds to go and see and to meet Jesus. God wants to use you and me, humble, lowly people, country boys, country girls, rednecks. I don't know what you call a female redneck. Is there a name for that? Just a redneck. Okay. He wants to use us, people just like us. And maybe you're not a redneck. I don't know. You all know that I am, or yuns know that I am, right? I did go hunting this week. I took my gun for a walk again. I would starve if it came to my hunting prowess and ability. But did have fun with the Lord in the woods. But the point is, God wants to, just like he revealed specially to those, they were just ordinary shepherds. They weren't anyone special. And God sent angels to speak and reveal to them. And I promise you, he wants to do the same thing for you and for me. So many times we think, and you know, those international workers, the one guy, the first guy that was interviewed, that was a little bit big. I met him on a trip that they sent over. He was a weightlifter. And when I told him at that time I was benching almost 300, he said, oh, you're a babe. He said, I can do that so many times. That's nothing. He definitely put me in my place. Here I thought I was strong. He was benching, I don't know, like 500 pounds. So he could play with 300 like it was nothing. But the Lord called him to be a pastor. He's an ordinary person. See, so many times we think that international workers and they're these special people. They walk up here. You know, I grew up that way. My mom, if there was a missionary within 50 miles of our home church, they stayed in our house. And she would fix whatever. I remember her cooking onion soup for 3 days because she heard that international worker's favorite soup was onion soup. So she would just go out of her way all the time because missionaries were people that walked up here. I can just tell you, international workers are ordinary people just like us. In fact, everyone in this room is a missionary, an international worker to Buchanan. Because don't you work with strangers and aliens? Don't you? We are. It's just like the shepherds. God wants to use ordinary people just like us, just like those shepherds. I promise you, those shepherds did not think they were something big. Good news of great joy. Good news, the good news that brings great joy. We're going to focus on joy today. And you already know this in Romans is another blank, but do you realize, and I realized it yesterday because I have, if you look close at my hands and if you look at Ben's arms, he is ripped all over the place because I didn't help carry the bear out. Someone in our group got a bear and I left. I wimped and left. These other guys stayed and helped him out, and you should see my son-in-law's arms. He's got the proof that he helped. He's got scratches all over the place. You know, in the Garden of Eden, you wouldn't get any scratches hauling the bear out. Yeah, they just lay down for us. It wouldn't be any fun then. Here's what Romans says. The creation awaits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For since creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. All of creation was inflicted with a type of Romans 7 mess. You know, in the Garden of Eden, there were no thorn bushes. Roses didn't have little things on them. There wasn't any mosquitoes. You know, it's only female mosquitoes that bite. There's no poison ivy. There's no poison oak. Or even if there was, we weren't allergic to it. All of creation. I was falling all over the place, falling into bushes, trying to climb up here, climb up there. The briars were so thick sometimes I was crawling under them. There won't be any of that in the millennium. All of creation is eagerly looking forward to Christ's return. All of creation. Not only are we, but all of creation. And no, if you don't know the Lord, that may sound crazy, but it's the real deal. It's true. The Word of God tells us. Even creation is looking forward with joy to when it's not going to be in this bondage anymore. Creation is stuck in Romans 7, just like some of us are stuck in Romans 7. And what's Romans 7? Jesus came to set the captives free. He also came to bring us joy. And I'm going to talk about joy. And what I mean by the stuck in Romans 7 is, Romans 7 is where a believer can be, and when we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is not in control, we commit the same sin over and over and over and over. We swear, I will never do it again. And then what do? We do the same rascal again. And then we do it again. And then we get to a place where we almost give up. And actually, that's a good place if you give up. Then ask Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit to come and crucify self, because Paul teaches it's not us that's doing it. It's sin in us. It's the flesh. Our mind wants to do the right thing, but our body won't. That's Romans 7. That's where all of creation is. Jesus also brought joy. Now, biblical joy is more than an emotion. Now, in what, a week and 2 or 3 days, we're going to get to open some gifts, right? You're going to have fun doing that? And you know, I'm going to have fun watching my grandkids. One or two of them will probably have more fun with the paper than the present. But, you know, in just a little while, all of that will wear off, won't it? You'll have spent all this money and all this time trying to pick out the right thing, and they'll have fun for a little bit, and then it'll just be sitting over there in the corner. That's worldly happiness. It comes and it goes. Biblical joy is more than emotion. Biblical joy is actually a state of being. It's a state of being. It's inside of us so that it can't be taken away. It doesn't leave. Even in this last year, you know, I've walked a very painful, very difficult journey. My head has joy. My heart hurts, but my head has joy because I know where my precious wife is, where Lynette is. For those of you who don't know, a little over a year ago, my wife passed away of cancer. It was 14 years of cancer, 14 or 15 years. Eventually, the Lord took her home. She told me, never tell anyone she lost the battle to cancer. She said, I never lose a battle. I'm going home to be with Dad. That girl only got 1B all through college. I celebrated myself. She got 1 and got real upset. She did not lose a battle to cancer. Dad took her home. And because of that, I can, in my head, rejoice. Now, my heart is lonely. I got to be honest. There's times you might see me that I leak sometimes. It's not because my head's telling me to leak. It's because my heart is leaking. Are you with me? I still don't understand it. There's this huge gap between my head and my heart. And I don't understand. I've never experienced it before where I know that I know that I know. And I told you this before. I could be wrong, but I think that, you know, the shortest verse in all the Bible, those of you who are quizzers, what's the shortest verse in all the Bible? What is it? Jesus wept. Okay, we got a lot of quizzers here. Why did Jesus weep? It was just Lazarus had died. Jesus wept and then called Lazarus out of the tomb back to life. I personally believe a part of the reason why Jesus was weeping is he was calling Lazarus out of paradise back to here. That's a reason to weep. In my head, I have joy. I'm rejoicing for Lynette. I know where she is. I know she's declaring holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty and worshiping the Lord right now. I know that with my head. I have joy. My heart is sad. Why is that? Because biblical joy is a state of being. I know where she is. I know Jesus took her hand and walked her through the valley of the shadow of death. And she had no fear, no fear. As Psalm 23 says, I believe that. And so my joy can't be taken from me. I know that I know that I know. Now, does my heart act up sometimes? Is my heart stupid sometimes? Yeah. But it's okay. Because someday I'm going to be joining her. Amen? Are Yin's going to be there too? I hope so. Biblical joy is a state of being. See, biblical joy is it's a mixture of kind of peace, contentment, all is okay, shalom. The Hebrew word shalom, it's like God is in control. I can just relax and have joy and peace in His presence. It's rooted in the truth that God is on the throne. He's in control and He's tenderly holding me. Here's how I would say it. God is large and in charge. And He loves me. Ah, that S should be bigger, shouldn't it? Oh, well. It didn't have an S on it to begin with. Tanya told me to fix it, but I only fix it halfway. Remember, I celebrated B's. What can I say? But this is truth. God is large and in charge. God is large and in charge. You know, you can, sometimes Satan wants you to feel like you're disappointing God. You know, when you commit that sin again, he wants you to feel shame and all this stuff and that you've disappointed God. Now, just think about this. If God can see the whole future, if God before, and this is what Scripture says, before the creation of the Lord, he looked forward in time and he chose you. He chose you, knowing every stupid thing, every stupid redneck thing you would do. You may not be a redneck like me, but every stupid thing you've ever done, he already knew it. And you know what he did? He said, I choose you. I love you. I adopt you. You're mine. So is it possible to disappoint God? No, because he already knew it. But what does Satan do? He wants to rub our nose in that and make us feel this shame and false guilt and make us think that he wants to make us do exactly what Adam and Eve did. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. Now, be honest. Remember the last time you did something to your dad's truck or car or tool, and then he came home? What did you want to do? I did a lot because I was always breaking something. But Jesus came, died on the cross, gives us hope, gives us peace, gives us joy. Because the reality is we can't disappoint the Father in heaven because He already knows it. He's just waiting for us to run into His arms. He's holding His arms out. You know, next week I'm going to go visit my grandkids for a while, and I know there are going to be some crashes and burns. You know, they'll try and walk, they'll try and run, they'll try and do stuff, and they're going to fall down. And man, if you make a big deal of it, they'll scream bloody murder. But if it's okay, you're all right, good job, they'll get up and do it again. Are you with me? You see, it's okay, it's all right. Try that again. If it's worth trying again, it might be funny enough to have them do it again, you know? Aren't you glad I'm not your grandpa? But your Father in heaven, you can't disappoint Him. He flat out loves you. He's already chosen you. He already knew all the stuff you were going to do, and He still said, "You're mine. I choose you. I adopt you." Now, do we need to deal with sin? Yes. When the Holy Spirit convicts, confess it. Confess it and let go of it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So am I talking about a cheap grace? No, no, no. Jesus died on the cross for us. He died on the cross. I won't even watch the Passion because I know that I'll wind up in vasovagal syncope and on the floor. I've passed out just looking at what He went through, a depiction of what He went through. Does God take sin seriously? Yes, but Jesus paid the sin debt. We just need to acknowledge it, confess it, and forsake it. And then we're white as snow. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be. You know, we're going to get snow sometime. I love snow. Man, next time you get snow, just say this is an Isaiah 1:8 day. Isaiah 1:18. I said 1:8. 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Let snow remind you that you're as pure as snow in God's sight. And when we run off the ditch, we ask forgiveness, and He cleanses us and gets us back on our way again. That's what God does because He's large, He's in charge, and He loves us. Do you believe that? It's a fact. It's a reality. How can we continually experience joy? You know, there's some people that you just know they're a believer because you look at their life and no matter what happens, they have this sense of peace, this sense of joy in their life. And then you've got Eeyores. And then you've got Eeyores. Anybody know an Eeyore? I could be wrong, but I'm not sure if you can even be an Eeyore and be a believer. If you are, then you just don't know the truth of God yet. Because the reality is God loves you. And Eeyore is always looking at the bad, always looking at the negative, always, ugh. It's always raining around him, right? Plant flowers if it's raining or something. I don't know. Ask it to get colder so it'll snow. Joy is an aspect of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're lacking joy, joy is an aspect of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And what does fruit mean? If the Holy Spirit's abiding in me, what's going to naturally ooze out of me? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's not abiding in you, then you're not going to have joy. But if He's in here, you're going to have joy. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, and by the way, there's two interpretations, there's probably a whole bunch more, but the two biggest is that there's one fruit, and it's love. And then love is made up of joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And against these things, there is no law. The other is that all of it is the fruit of the Spirit. Did that make sense? Two views. Either way, it sounds good to me. Whether the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then love is made up of all these other things. But what's the second rascal on the list? It's either first or second. Joy, joy, joy. A sense that God is in control and it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to work out. Is that true? Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, what's he going to do? Man, if God could create the world in 7 days and Jesus has taken a couple thousand years, I don't know about your place, but mine's going to be pretty cool. And someone already made me a picture. You'll know my place because there's going to be two polar bears sitting on the front porch. And someone else told me their names. Diesel and Duke. Diesel and Duke. My two polar bears. Those who belong to Christ. Now, here's the key. He's opening up this scripture. You think that I'm just picking and choosing, but this is still, we're still in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So how does this all happen? It happens as a result of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're lacking joy, it's because the Holy Spirit doesn't have enough of us yet. We've not let him crucify self. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Now, here's a telltale sign. You know, it's real easy to empathize with someone who's suffering. Amen? But what about rejoicing with someone who's rejoicing? Good example, was I able to rejoice that my brother got a bear and I didn't? I didn't see a thing. I saw rain. That is, rain and mud is all I saw, and briars. Now, one aspect's telltales is, can you rejoice with those who rejoice? Because Scripture says that. Just think about it in your own life. Your neighbor gets a new car, or this or that or the other, grandkid, or this or that. I don't care what it is. Can you rejoice with those who are rejoicing? It's easy to empathize with those who are suffering. That's a telltale. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's in us, the fruit is naturally going to come out. And what's going to come out? Joy. Joy. If you lack joy, you got a problem with the Holy Spirit. He's not there. So how do we get there? How do we get, is that a big enough how for you? Again, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So now you're going to subject you to my diagrams again. So here's humanity. They're eternally lost in darkness. They're without Christ and without joy. Now they may have some happiness. They might keep buying more toys, but do they last long? No. The joy just goes away. It's only a temporary thing. It's not a consistent thing. They are eternally lost in darkness. They are without Christ and without joy. Self is on the throne and Jesus is not in their lives. Here's what Galatians says. The acts of the sinful nature. The person that does not have Jesus in their life. They're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, fractions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's the world, isn't it? If we've got any of those things in our life, we got a problem. Notice there is no lasting joy. Hey, our American culture is built on it. Our economy is built on it. By the latest, greatest. You know, if you're a hunter, you need to get this bow that shoots 400 feet a second versus 380. That's last year's model. You need this year's model. You need this toothpaste. You need that. And, you know, I look at my toothbrush and, you know, it goes halfway down and now you got to buy another one. Who says who? Sorry, Jeff. Our dentist is smiling kindly at me. But just think about it. Our entire culture is built on the newest, latest, greatest. Because there's no lasting joy in those things. You get it? You have a little bit of joy, a little bit of happiness, and it goes away. Because the only place to find lasting joy is in Jesus Christ. And now, here again, here's born-again believer, yet carnal, stuck in Romans 7. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe most Christians live here. And we don't need to live here. Most people live here, where self is still on the throne and in control. They're stuck in Romans 7. People who want to do the right thing, but repeatedly do the wrong thing. If that's where you are, you're in Romans 7. I'm in Romans 7 when I get stuck in that. Double-mindedness, controlled by sinful passions. Don't you just love double-mindedness? Ugh. With self or flesh still in control, there is no lasting joy. So what's the cure? In the CNMA, we call it the Christ of sanctification. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit crucifying self or being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And here's the diagram. This blueness is symbolizing of the Holy Spirit is in our life. The Holy Spirit crucifies self and puts Jesus on the throne. Believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, self or flesh is crucified by the Holy Spirit because we can't do it ourselves. With Jesus on the throne, we experience joy. We experience joy, joy that the world can't take away, joy that the world can't understand. Through the years of Lynette's illness, I don't know how many people came up to me and said, I don't understand you. How can you have this joy in your life? With what's going on with your wife and all that's going on, how can you still have joy? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I know. He's large. He is in charge. And he's got this. So I can have peace. I can have joy. I can have hope. Because of what Jesus has done. So here's my question. I brought a helper here. Everyone see this? Let me turn it on here. Come on, dude. Don't let me down. There we go. See, I can measure people's joy with this. Actually, I cannot. I cannot. This is a an infrared thermometer, okay? But just imagine if I could measure your joy. Just imagine. Ooh. She even says it. Happy's on her shirt. What if I came around to every one of us and I just zapped you with this? You know, I'll hit myself here. Hey, the pointer I got has a green pointer. So I can feel free to point it at anyone. I know red's a little intimidating, although I like red. I got a green pointer on this next one. I know, what am I talking about? So, see, I'm pointing at myself. But what if this rascal could measure joy? My question is, how much joy is in your life right now? And joy is something that the world can't take away. Despite your circumstances, despite all of the negative junk going on, if you're lacking joy, there's something missing. Because Jesus came that we would have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. We've already talked about how to get there. How do we get there? Holy Spirit, please come. Holy Spirit, please come. Come and crucify self. Come and abide in me and put Jesus on the throne. That's how we can get lasting joy. And if you're lacking it, it's just a prayer away. It's just a prayer away. And so I'm going to pray. Please bow with me. Oh, Father in heaven, I thank you that you look forward in time. You look forward in time. You saw all the mess of me, and you still said, Jeff, I choose you. You see the mess in all of our lives, and you still say, you're mine, I adopt you. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying on the cross, paying my sin debt, our sin debt, the sin debt of the entire world, of every individual who repents and turns and seeks you. And I also thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask forgiveness for the times that I've quenched you, that I've grieved you, that I've resisted you. Holy Spirit, come newly and freshly. Come upon each one of us. So fill us with yourself. I ask that you would fill us and you would crucify self. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. I surrender all. Full surrender. Full access. Come. Come. Come and speak. Come and reveal. And we're not saying this just to get the joy. We're saying this because we're in desperate need of you. I make a terrible God. We make terrible gods. Holy Spirit, please come and fill us. Come and fill us and crucify self and the flesh so that Jesus can come and sit on the throne of our hearts. And that your fruit, the fruit of you, Holy Spirit, will just ooze from us to this lost and dying world. They're looking for love. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace. They're looking for all of your fruit, and they can't find it. May you so fill us and flow through us that they would see you, Jesus, and you, Holy Spirit, in us and be drawn to you. Please. Cause the kingdom of God to occur here and now in our hearts and lives and in this place. Please continue to draw us to yourself. If apart from you, we have no hope, we have no joy, we have nothing until we seek you. Abba, Father, I humbly pray these things and I ask them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand together with me? Let us sing our closing song.